is in the house. Well, bless God. Turn around, fist bump somebody, elbow them. I don't know. Do whatever you want to do. And you may be seated for just a minute or two. Hallelujah. What a blessing of the Lord it is to be here at Eagle Mountain International Church. God has been so good and gracious to this place. And I know you really enjoy it. Happy birthday, George. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's 67. I've been there. Not bad. Passed it a while ago. But God has been so wonderful, and it's such an honor to be here, and I mean that sincerely. This is the first time I've been away from New Orleans in 18 weeks in terms of I've been preaching there. So my wife is going to minister this morning, so that's otherwise she would have been here. We just finished out our 2020 Visionary Conference, and I didn't know what to expect, but boy, we had a crowd. I mean, it was. Did y'all get to see it on Victory? Did you like it? What a blessing. The Lord told me to go out there and pray for people. I said, no, they're going to arrest me. So I was just using one finger. Praise God. Keep my head down, one finger. But God was so good and gracious. So thank you, Pastor George and Pastor Terry, for allowing me to stand in this pulpit and minister the word of God. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, or your iPads or your phones, whatever you use for your scripture. And I want to deal with this and today, and as you turn into 2 Kings chapter 6, in January of this year, the Lord gave me a theme to all my partners and ministry friends called Great Expectation Gets Great Results. And you know, and after the lockdown came in March and all that kind of stuff, I said, Lord, why would you give me a theme for 2020 with Great Expectation Gets Great Results? He said, don't you need to greatly expect now? I said, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, to get great results spiritually, physically, financially. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, all you that are watching, this is going to be the best financial year we've ever had at Jesse the Plan's Mistress. It is amazing. I'm not just saying that by faith. I'm saying that by fact. I mean, God has been so good and gracious, and I'm just amazed at what's going on. And I want to minister a little bit on that theme today on expectations is a secret to abundance or results eternally. See, it has to be done eternally. It can't come in sessions once in a while. You know, I don't believe in backing up on nothing. You know, I don't like it when they said, you know, they had that great Voice of Healing revival. It started in 1947 and ended in 1958. Why did it end? Why does these things end? You say they should never end. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, a policeman told me, he said, well, you ready for the new norm, Reverend? I said, there ain't no new norm. Uh-uh. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It has nothing to do with the new norm whatsoever at all. So I want to get into that this morning, and I believe you'll be blessed. I want to start reading 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to start reading with verse 8. I like the old King James version because it's so poetical, and I believe you'll enjoy it. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Verse 9, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent, verse 10, to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Now, verse 11 is really amazing. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled, because there's a leak going on. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? You know, I mean, when I read that, I think about Washington, D.C. They're always leaking over there, man. My, something leaking out. And he's saying something's not right because he wants to hurt this place. He wants to hurt Israel. He said, who is for the king of Israel? And verse 12 says, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. You know, you have a prophet at Eagle Mountain International Church. And his name is Kenneth Copeland. Think about that for a minute. I would call him a major prophet of today. See, God notices prophets, and so do other people. Let me read that again, verse 12. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Or another way, if you say anything, Elisha gonna know about it. Why? Because God's gonna tell you. I mean, so many people say, you never know what God's going to do. I know exactly what God's going to do. And I'm saying that arrogantly. He's going to do what his word says. You can't separate him from his word. Keep reading with me. Verse 13, he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Now watch this. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with his horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, servants, plural, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, we in trouble. See, you should never go by what you see. You should go by what you say. See, you can change what you see by what you say. Now, notice what Elisha said here. And he answered, fear not. And Brother Copeland says, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's always more with us than there is with them. I don't care what the world said. I've been preaching 44 years and I've never had a financial deficit. I've never laid off one person in my life. Because I said, there's three things I want to do, Lord. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I never want to lay off a person, and I'm not going to have a financial deficit. Now, I've had some of the biggest preachers in the world, and I don't mean this privately. I preach with a lot of them. I mean, mostly all of them, to tell you the truth. And they said, now, Jesse, help us out here. What's the formula? What's the formula? I said, if I tell you, you won't believe it. Oh, yeah, yeah, we will believe it. I said, no, you won't. I said, I'm going to prove it to you. You ready for it? I didn't believe for it. I didn't believe for deficit. They go, oh, come on, man. I said, I didn't believe for it. See what I'm saying? And when you understand that what you believe will come to pass, spiritual, physical, financial. And they said, yeah, but. And that's the problem. God is not into conjunctions like man is. See, there's always more with us than it is with them. But yeah, but what about that? I don't deny that. I just deny it's right. What, to affect me? I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. So I want to deal with that. There's more with us. Write this down if you don't mind, if you're taking notes. Faith is the womb where expectation takes its first breath. Faith is the womb where expectation takes its first breath. See, right there. It's the womb where expectation takes its first breath. How many of you are expecting some things? Well, if you are, then you're going to receive some things. When? As you expect, you shall receive. Don't put your faith in the future. It wasn't made for the future. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is. But the church don't preach it like that. They say, is faith now? No, now faith is. And it's physical. It's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You will never see faith because it's invisible, but you'll see the manifestation of faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So faith is the womb where expectation takes its first breath. See, what he was trying to do with his service was to elevate their mindset. See, you got to understand, you have to elevate your mindset to receive everything God wants you to receive spiritually, physically, or financially. So write this down if you don't mind. We must elevate our mindset by believing in something, not wishing in something, but knowing something. Let me say it again. We must elevate our mindset by believing in something. What do you believe? Not wishing in something, but knowing something. See, the Bible says, I know in whom I have believed. Ladies and gentlemen, I quit believing many, many years ago. Oh, Lord, I don't even deal with that no more. Because, you know, I hear people all the time, I'm believing. I'm standing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get this crazy thing to work. See, Paul said, I know. When you know in whom you have believed, when you know, like Brother Roberts used to say, he said, you got to know it in your knower. You see, you got to elevate your mindset to knowing things instead of just believing things. I've had many opportunities to fail. You've heard me say it many times, but I don't take any. I mean, who do you think you are? You don't have enough time for me to tell you who I am. I got to start with Genesis 1 and go all the way through the book. This book was wrote about me and about you and for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let me say it again. We must elevate our mindset by believing in something, not wishing in something, but knowing something. See, you don't complicate faith. You ever know something about children? They're born believers until you teach them to doubt, until you break your word to them. Then they go, wait a minute. They believe everything you say until you break it. They go, wait a minute, huh? Maybe they ain't serious about what they say. So let me say it again. You must elevate your mindset by believing in something, not wishing in something, but knowing something. Why? Because it's called simplicity of faith. Simplicity in faith is the answer to changing difficult and even impossible situations into belief. If you want to write that down, I'll slow down. Simplicity in faith is the answer to changing difficult and even impossible situations into belief. See, it's just simple simplicity of faith. And I mean, it doesn't make any sense to the mind. It doesn't make any sense to induction and reasoning. or range in research. That makes any of that. No, no. What it does is it's coming out of faith. And the evidence of it's not seen because it's so simple. You need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it. So every day I expect great things. And guess what? I get them. I got to watch what I say because I get it. I'm not meaning that prideful. I get it spiritually, physically, and financially. I've been attacked so many times. Lord Jesus, it's so funny to me because I have a shield of faith. There's not one fiery dart ever got through that shield. Now, I don't pull my shield down and say, oh, you out there, devil, keep the shield in front of your face. But you know, a lot of Christian people want to go, well, what's out there? Bam, you're going to get hit in the head. I mean, stay simple with it. I had a man one time. He was so, well, actually it was ABC, CBS, and NBC in New Orleans. They were mad at me about my house. They all want to go in it, but they're not. Now, Georgia Terry's been in my house. Make a long story short, I got a nice home. I don't mean that pridefully. Man, they were just eating my lunch morning, noon, and night. Oh, Lord, this man. They said, he's so rich. And I said, thank you. I agree when Satan says something right. Don't shout me down when the preaching good. Listen, they just couldn't get over that. They all want to go in it. They all want to look at it, you know. But I don't let evil in my house. I won't do that. I don't have nothing to hide. I just won't let evil in my house, you see. So I just stay simply in faith. And I made up my mind. I said, you know, y'all, if you can't see faith, I'm going to build something you can see. Now, get ready for persecution. But Percy's not cute, so who cares? It doesn't really make any difference what Percy says. The Bible said 100-fold with persecution. Well, my Lord, they went all over. And me and Kathy went to a restaurant called Zia's. Me and George and Terry was there, I believe, last year. Y'all might have went this year. Make a long story short, a man walks in, looks at me, said, boy, I tell you what, they're running you hard, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, that's a real nice house. I said, yeah, it is. I said, it's paid for, too. That's it. Oh, people get mad. Ha! You know, well, I'm just giving God glory. I don't know why everybody get mad when you give God glory. And he just looked at me and he said, I'll tell you what, that's a beautiful house. I said, we think so. I don't know this man. He goes in his pocket, pulls out a check for $10,000, puts it on my dinner table. He said, go buy something wonderful, that new house. I said, oh, Jesus, we call ABC. Play it again. Play it 3 or 4 times. Why? I just stayed in simplicity of faith. Simplicity in faith is the answer to changing difficult and even impossible situations into belief. You see, so when you know in whom you have believed, then the next stage is you're persuaded. You see, when Kathy goes shopping, I know she's going to spend money. I ain't got to believe it. I just know it. And I don't care. I don't care how much she spent. I don't mean that. I told her one time she should get mad at you, but I just said because I'm in Texas and she's in Louisiana. Anyway, we was at Honolulu. They got a mall there called the Ala Moana Mall. You almost got to speak in tongues to say it. Ala Moana. Anybody ever been there? I don't know. And that third floor is where the big bucks is. You know, you got Chanel and Givenchy and Escada and Christian Dior. I mean, you better have some money on that third floor. And me, I like to, when I go to Hawaii, most people, they like to go around. Me, she said, you need to learn to relax. You don't do nothing. I said, I'm relaxing today. I closed all the curtains in my room, and I turn on Turner Classic Movies. She said, what are you doing? I said, you want me to relax, huh? I'm going back to 1938. I'm going to watch a 1938 movie. And she said, you going to come to the mall with me? No. I said, do what you want. She said, okay, I'm going to go look. I said, what? And as she was walking out, now some people get mad at this. Watch this. See, great expectation gets great results eternally. I said, hey, Kathy. She goes, what? I said, try to break me. Buy anything you want. Get 2, get 3, get 5. I don't care. Try to break me because, mama, you cannot. Oh, look at you people. I see some women that said, I should have married him. No. No, you shouldn't have. But you see, if God is El Shaddai, which is more than enough, I'm El Shaddad, which is more than enough. You see, we just believe just to get by. No, you got to believe for more than enough. You got to get to a point where you go, oh, Jesus, what should I do with this? Because there's more with us than there is with them. Do you see that? See, that's simplicity of faith. Don't try to complicate that. Just let it flow. Write this down. You will never see faith, I said it a while ago, only the results of it. See, I knew in whom I had believed. I knew God would bless it. I've had people drive by my house and throw $5,000 over the fence in $100 bills. Don't even know them. I don't mean that prideful. I'm not bragging. I'm going, my God, what is going on? Why? Because one time I said, you know, Lord, I just want to be a blessing to this person. And I said, I think I'm going to give him $5,000. The guy threw it over the fence. He said, well, I heard you say it. I said, yeah, but I didn't ask for it. He said, you didn't need to. I lost it. Some of y'all like this. See, I expect it. Now, I don't walk up to people with them religious cons. Are you the man that's supposed to bless me? No, that's a religious con artist. You know, oh, I'm believing God for a watch, just like that. Well, keep believing, boy, because you ain't getting this one. You see what I'm saying? That's somebody just trying to put the con on you. I'm not talking about that. See, when you're expecting, eyes will be open to see results before they show up. Amen. Write that down. When you're expecting, eyes will be open to see results before they show up. So I know it's going to happen. There's no other choice in the matter. The Lord told me when I was going to the mall one time, he said, get you a big bag. I said, Lord, I don't shop, Kathy shops. So she looked at me and she said, listen, I want you to meet me at this store. You see, men don't go in the stores. They walk the mall. Women, they go in the stores, you know. And I said, well, I'm just going to walk the mall. And the Lord said, get you a shopping bag. I said, I'm not buying nothing. And ladies and gentlemen, by the time I got from P.F. Chang's at the beginning of the mall down to Dillard's, I had thousands and thousands of dollars in cash. People coming up to me just dropping cash in. I mean, it looked like a drug dealer. I had to get a bag. I think it was $14,000. In 20s, you know how many 20s and 10s and 1s it takes to make? I thought, my God. I came in, Kathy said, you rob a bank? What you do? I said, no, I just was walking down the mall and they gave it to me. But the Lord told me to get a shopping bag, so I expected it. I thought I was going to buy a gift for you. And I said, you want something? She said, I got everything. I said, okay. I said, I'm going back in the mall. And I gave it all away. It was wonderful. It was a great, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. It was great. And I walked up behind some people, and there was this lady. You could tell they were just newly married because, you know, they stay close to each other. They get rashes because they rub on each other. You know what I mean? You know, they're just so close, you know. And she saw this beautiful dress. And this lady, she said, look at that, honey. And her husband said, he was about maybe 24. I guess she's 22, something like that. I said, oh, God, it was a beautiful dress. She said, oh. And he said, honey, I can't afford that. But one day I'll be able to buy you something like that. She said, no, I'm not asking you to buy it. Isn't that beautiful? But he said, I can't afford it. And I was behind him. I went, I can. They turned around and looked at me. And I said, how you doing? She said, what? I said, that would look wonderful on you. It's your color. See, I learned that from Kathy. You know, you got to have color. You know what I'm saying? And so I opened up my bag. And I said, just get a handful. She said, what? I said, get a handful. You might want some shoes too. Get it. You want a purse? Get a handful. They said, are you serious? I said, yeah, get a handful. It was great. This dress was $1,100. Who cares? I didn't know. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know how much. And by the time I finished walking, I did walk on the other side of the mall, didn't get a dime. That's the broke side of the mall. So I quit going over there. Yeah. Hey, that was J.C. Penney's, you know, Penney's. No, that one up there. Nothing against Penney, but I just, you know, we ain't dealing with Penney's, you understand? We're dealing with dollar. I'm telling you, this is a true story. Kathy said, what'd you do with the money? So I gave it all away. By the time I got home, I wasn't home. Maybe 30 minutes, I had it all back. People stopped, and I was out in the yard. People said, hey, Brother Joseph. I said, hey. And you know, I said, what are y'all doing this for? I said, God, what are you doing? He said, blessing you. Just see, some of y'all can't understand that. I can see that. And you, word of faith. I want that to happen to me. You got to believe it. Amen. And know in whom you have believed. So when you understand, when you're expecting, eyes will be open to see results before they show up. You see, what happens is when you begin to understand this, there's more with us than there is with them. Supernatural perspective comes upon you. Supernatural perspective creates peace. That's possession of adequate resource in the heart, and it clears a path for peace in life. Supernatural perspective creates peace in the heart, and it clears a path for peace in life. See, Isaiah 1:19 said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you just be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You know, I was buying an airplane one time and they didn't have MSP on it. That's called maintenance service program, which you pay it as you fly it by hour. See, because you lose a jet engine, you're looking anywhere from $3 to $5 million. Them engines cost a lot of money. So I was talking to the people that, you know, were doing the deal, the owners, and I said, I love your plane. I'd like to get it. I think it's the best one out here, but I don't have MSP. And they said, well, would you like for us to put that on there? It was $1.12 million that you have to pay into the program, and then you start paying it hourly as you fly it. I said, yeah. They said, okay. It's like somebody cutting me a check for $1.12 million. And people said, how did that guy do that? I didn't, because there was more with us than there is with them. The Lord said, you want that, Jess? I said, oh. He said, it's none. Now, I wasn't expecting that. I thought, well, the Lord's going to bless me, you know, and I'm going to put this thing on there. He said, no, we'll take care of that. No one does that. No one does that. $1.12 million? They just cut a check and put it toward the MSP. Isn't that amazing? But I was expecting it. I didn't know they were going to do it, but I was expecting I'm going to get this thing done before I take this plane away from these people. You see what I'm saying? Now, you see, but that's unbelievable. Yeah, that's what's good about it. He said, believe the unbelievable, receive the impossible, because it's doable. See, it's just doable. And when you understand that, if you be willing and obedient, which means, my God, you'd be surprised how many people are not that willing to receive that kind of stuff. They're not that obedient. The Bible says you should eat the good of the land. And they say you'll go through fasting and starving and all that kind of stuff and things of that nature. How many preachers told me when I first went out in the ministry, well, you better get ready, boy, to suffer, 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 suffer. I said, Lord Jesus, my God. You know, and man, stay away from booze. I used to drink a fifth of whiskey a day before I was born again. I'd start drinking scotch at 7 o'clock in the morning. And by 5 o'clock, I had drank the whole fifth. Then I drank drinks at night, you know. So, I mean, they said I was an alcoholic, and I was so drunk, I couldn't tell. You know, I just enjoyed myself, you know, here in Texas. Because 3 days later, after I married Kathy, I moved here. See, and so to make a long story short, I said, well, the Bible said he'd supply all my need. Well, I know he said that. No, you don't know he said that. No, you don't know. He said there's always more than enough. If God, you know, there's more with us than there's with them. Well, I know he said that, but you can't expect that. See, they're going by what they've experienced. I've gone by what God said. And then that changes my experiences if I go by what he said. And I mean, they did some God awful things at the beginning of my marriage. They'd steal all my offerings, and I wouldn't have. I ran out of gas. I had to hitchhike home. But I tell you what, my God would send somebody that was just the most amazing thing on the side of the road. Give me $400, $700, fill my car up with gas and all. I mean, I ran out of gas in front of a gas, actually a little 7-Eleven. Now, why would God, if I run out of gas, you know, God, if there's some tank, you know, if there's some gas, he's gonna give me some gas. I didn't ask for it. I actually went into the store and asked the man to help me push the car. And a guy in a pickup truck just drove up and said, well, you're not going to put no gas in? I said, oh, and I was embarrassed a little bit. You know, they stole my offering. Before you know it, my God, he said, put that gas nozzle in there. Fill that thing up. You got any money? I said, well, no. He gave me $700. And I said, Lord, what you doing? He says, what I normally do. I hadn't made up my mind. If I got to hitchhike and walk all the way, I'll walk. It don't make no difference. And if I didn't have nothing to eat, I'd fast. Instead of getting mad about it, I would just fast. The devil said, don't let him fast, because then he'll beat us up bad if he starts fasting. You know, because those go out by fasting and prayer. See, I was willing and obedient, even though it looked like things wasn't working, but great expectation gets great results eternally. I told the Lord this yesterday in my daily devotion. I said, listen, I want you to come in my life. It's the only prayer I pray if it be your will. That's the only prayer I pray. Because I know the will of God. I know the will of God for mankind. I know the will of God for you. I know it. Not believe it. I know it. And it's the first two chapters in the book of Genesis and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. Between them four chapters, there's 1,185 chapters of killing, stealing, and destroying by an arch enemy called Satan. But Jesus is coming back. We're going back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and John, the last two chapters in the book of Revelation, and man's going to walk in the cool of the day. So live long and prosper. You see my point? We understand? But I knew what God would do. I knew he would do it. And even though if you go by what you see, nothing's happening. But there's more with us than is with them. The reason why you can't see it, you got to get somebody to open your eyes. Your ears are certainly open to hear it. But what you need, your eyes open to see it.
See, let me tell you something. Christianity isn't natural. It isn't. It started with a miracle birth, and it ended with a miracle resurrection. Well, and the Bible says, be you therefore imitators of God as dear children. So I'm supernatural. I'm a miracle at birth, and I'm a miracle at the end of my life. So I pray this, Lord, this is the only prayer I pray. If it be your will, because only the Father knows the day that Jesus comes. I'd like to go to heaven in the rapture. Now, some people say, I don't believe in that rapture. Well, stay here. We probably didn't want you to come anyway, so just stay here. Do what you got to do. But Jesse going out on the first load. I said, I'd like to go to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven with my family. Not, but if it be your will. Only the Father knows that. Now, everything else, I never mentioned those words. If it be your will, because I know the will of God in his word, see. But that, I understand. And I could hear this. I said, he got something up his sleeve. I think, you know, God has got a great sense of humor. He does. You'd be surprised how much God will laugh. I've had God just almost falling off of the throne. Some of the things I did. You know, I rebuked the raincoat for 3.5 hours. Thought it was a demon from hell. It was moving like this. The air conditioner was kicking on, moving. I was scared. I wasn't getting out that bed. I'm not getting. Oh. I said, you devil from hell, get out of here. Nothing. 3.5 hours. Till I got so sore I couldn't talk. Then the light began to come through and I thought, yes, a raincoat. I got kind of mad at God. I said, God, you could have told me that. He said, Jesse, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my existence. I rebuked that. I don't do that no more. I'll get out of that bed in a second. This was the very beginning of my ministry. See, I knew I had to learn some things. Bible said you have to receive the tongue of the learned. So Christianity isn't natural. It started with a miracle birth and ended with a miracle resurrection. See, you got to have something called great expectation, which creates a passion. How many of you have passion? Good. Great expectation creates a passion for light, which makes you see more clearly. See, you got to learn to push the light. See, when God created the earth, he said in darkness upon the face of the deep. But no, he recorded it, but he didn't say, man, it's dark out here. Look how dark it is out here. Lord. No, he recorded that to let you know. He just simply said, light be. He pushed the light. So what we do is push the light. That's so simple. I've had people say, I just never got saved like you got saved. Then maybe you're not saved. I don't mean that in a rude sense. Man, if you understand God, I mean, it's just so wonderful to flow with him on a daily basis. Andrew Womack loves my relationship. He said, you got a fellowship with God more than I've ever seen anybody. I said, well, we have conversation. We talk. I was yesterday. I said, boy, Lord, you showed up and showed out at this 2020 Visionary Conference. He said, did I do good? I said, oh, yes, you did, Lord, man. It was great. You know, he said, well, I am great. I said, yes, you are. He said, you did good too. I said, well, thank you. We were just, complimenting each other. Ain't nothing wrong with that. See, you need to get there. See, a lot of people, they're like this. Oh, Lord, I come before you. Oh, you're mad? Don't hit me, Jesus. Don't hit me. No. They're scared. They approach God from a fear standpoint of view instead of a love standpoint of view. How many times if your kid walked by and you went, hit, and the kid did this, and you say, what's the matter with you, boy? You're going to make people think I'm beating you. You'd be surprised how many Christians do that because they haven't fellowshiped with God. They have a relationship with God. They're born again, but they haven't had a fellowship with God. And if you really want to know people, let me give you some wisdom. Go on vacation with them. You're going to find out who they really are. When they're on vacation, they change completely, you know, because they have their time, their now to do what they want to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I just go with that flow, see, that I have a passion for light. So when I see darkness, I turn on the heart light. Oh, yeah. Yeah. One time I was preaching on the streets of New Orleans, and it was just the funniest thing. It was during Mardi Gras. Now, my God, man, I mean, people drunk. There's 2 million people drunk on the streets. You cannot control that. You can't. So I preached, and we came back next year. I said, we need some sound system. So the man that owned Pace Sound Company in the state of Louisiana, he said, I'll give enough sound, my God, for anybody can hear you. And we were in Fat City. Fat City is like a suburb of Metairie, okay? You got New Orleans, Metairie, Kenner, Destrehan. That's where I live, Destrehan, out by the airport. But in Metairie, there's a little thing called Fat City. I don't know why they call it that. Just do. When I got there, there was an 18-wheeler truck. He had 24 stacks of speakers. I mean, I could have played the Cotton Bowl, just blew the cotton off the bowl. I had 24 monitors like this, linked channel to channel. When I said, hello, sound like God coming from the sky. You stood in front of the speakers, George, and it blew your hair back. That's power. He said, they're going to hear you now. And I started preaching, ladies and gentlemen, and people could hear me 4 miles away. One lady said, I was saying amen on my porch 4 miles away. I got so loud preaching that we shut down a massage parlor. They closed all the doors, but the sound was just permeating the thing. Finally, it just came out, man. They couldn't, I mean, it was just powerful. It was great. Kathy was, people getting saved, people cussing, getting mad and all that kind of stuff. I just smiled, just kept a preaching. And man, and me and a good pastor friend, we were tag teaming, just throwing it back and forth, you know, and it was just so Kathy, man, she, and we had a bunch of people out there, you know, to help them once they make a decision. And Kathy said, I want to go out there. I want to do it. I said, these are some radical people here. Oh, I can do it. I said, well, go. She goes out there. I said, are you ready to expect and get people say, I am. Well, when she went out there, several men tried to grab her. Started grabbing them. Well, she's slapping them and all. And I couldn't find her. I said, where's my wife? What happened to my wife? And she was in the little trailer. And she said, I said, woman, you're not going to go out there? She said, let them all go to hell. I don't care. They all go to hell. She said, I ain't doing this no more. That's a true story. I ain't like you, Jesse. I've had them spit. Let do what you got to do. Don't make no difference. See, because I know there's more with us than there is with them. You know, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, though you stop, build a house and canonize the place. No, though you walk through it. Say, you just keep going. That's what I mean by passion. They say, well, you don't get depressed. No. Have you ever saw me depressed? George, have you ever saw me depressed? Discouraged? Sick? Broke? Why? Why? I'm not better than you. I don't have any more faith than you do, but I might have a little more obedience. I just decided to obey. See, when I got saved, Kathy said that God had to give Jesus a blood transfusion because he was running out of blood trying to wash my sin away. I was a sinner. Ooh, and I didn't care. I didn't care about nothing. I do what I do. Whatever, when I want to do it, I didn't care. I was raised on the streets of New Orleans. You do what you're going to do. But when Jesus came into my life, passion came with it. And I said, Lord, I want to do as good for you as I did for the devil. I sent a lot of people to hell when I wasn't saved. Man, I mean, I told them stuff to do. They couldn't even think it themselves. I think I said some things the devil never thought of. I was a devil from hell. You say, oh, I can't believe. No, you don't understand. When I went to my 50th high school reunion, they stood up and said, this is a miracle of God. Oh, I just didn't care. But when I got born again, I knew I had to learn something about this word. So I wasn't quite sanctified. I was only born again about 3 hours. So I stole a Bible. Well, you got to give yourself time to grow a little bit, you know. And it was the Gideon Bible. So I told the Gideons about it later on. I said, I stole your Bible. They said, no, you can't steal a Gideon Bible. We give them to you. I said, no, I stole your Bible. So I gave them a big donation. They were glad. I said, steal as many as you want, Reverend. You know, and I just began to read and it began to come in me. You see, I got a new book coming out. It was supposed to come out in August, but because all this COVID stuff, we can't get to the things called I Never Learned to Doubt. I know nothing of doubt. When I read the Bible, see, we were raised Catholic, and they said, man, when God says something, that's it. That's why we believe in the priest. We weren't allowed to pray to God. I didn't pray to God. I talked to the priest. The priest talks to God. How many people have been Catholic at least once? Am I telling the truth? It's just the way it was. I mean, you went to confession. You know, you don't talk to God. You talk to the priest. So when people told me they were talking to God. Now, this is after I was born again, just maybe a few weeks. You mean I can talk to God? Man. So I said, okay, I'm going to start. And I have never stopped since. See, expectation is an energy that cracks through the barriers of life. Write that down. Expectation is an energy that cracks through the barriers of life. How's that done? It's done by thinking. It's done by speaking and by acting. That's Romans 4:17. Let me say it again. Expectation is an energy that cracks through the barriers of life. How's it done? It's done by thinking. You're going to think anyway, so you might as well think big. It's done by speaking. You're going to say something, so you might as well speak what God says. And by acting, you need to act like Jesus. Romans 4:17, he called it those things that be not as though they were. You see, when you get to that point in your life, it is amazing how people will be drawn to you. There's something about you. It's passion. Passion in what you believe. Passion in your vision. I have a vision, brother. If you wanted to find me in one word, people think it's humor. No, it's vision. Don't tell me I can't do something. You just come too late. I can do all things through Christ. Now, people think that's arrogance and cockiness when it's confidence and assurance. I'm trying to stay within a teaching mood here. You know what I'm saying? To make you understand that expectation is an energy. It's an energy. That's what Elisha's saying. There's more with us than there is with them. That's an energy talking. Now, you know, if you finish reading this 2 Kings chapter 6, you know, this guy Syria is going to kill everybody. Do you know what happened? You read the rest of the chapter. They fed them. Israel gave them a big dinner. They all ate, had a wonderful time. You ever fed your enemy? Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. Yeah. And guy went home and never did attack Israel until he died and another king came on. Think about that, you see? Because you see, when you understand there's more with us than there is with them, I mean, even your enemy will come to dinner with you and become your friend. You see, when you understand that, that's cracking through that barrier of life. And it's done by thinking, it's done by speaking, it's done by acting. I walked into my partner services, they call it partner care. I walked in and they all call me boss at my ministry. Hey, boss. You know, I said, nice. And I'm looking like that. So I'm just standing like this. And they got a bunch of girls and people in there. And Jessica, she's the supervisor. She said, can I help you, boss? Do you need something? I said, no. She said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm listening to the sounds of thinking. She said, what? I said, I'm listening to the sounds of thinking. Because whoever's not thinking is going to make some mistakes. And they all looked and went, we thinking, boss. We thinking. Yeah. It's called the sounds of silence. See, thinking. Who's thinking here? And it's done. That's breaking. That's cracking that barrier of life. And I tell them all, if anybody calls this ministry, they're not talking to you. They're talking to me. Now, I started doing things that kind of freaks people out. Sometimes they give me a list of my partner, and I got a bunch of them. I got, whoo, Lord Jesus. And I don't care. I mean, I'll call the smallest partner as well as the largest. So I got one the other day. I said, give me that number. And this person sends $2 a month. That's a great offer. That's a blessing. So I called. I said, hello. Yes, hello. I said, I'm Jesse the Plan. She said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. No, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I said, look, do you have anything on your phone? It's going to tell you. It's Jesse. I can't believe you would call me. And I said, then why are you talking to me if you can't believe you? You see how that's cracked? You see what happened right there? Just that statement. I can't believe, what do you mean? You can't believe you're talking to me. She said, did we do something wrong? I said, no, I just wanted to call you and thank you. Oh, but we don't give much. I said, to me, you do. I said, the greatest offering Jesus ever saw was the widow's mite. Think about that for a minute. Boy, and I had a good conversation. I just enjoyed myself. Yeah, why? I mean, who do I think I am? Don't make no difference. I just want to be a blessing if I can. Yeah. And when you understand that, then you'll understand this. Never speak as if you're trapped by the enemy. Write that down. Never speak as if you're trapped by the enemy. I don't speak like that. I don't do that. I will not give Satan one iota of nothing. I won't speak like that. See, we are inmates of two worlds, a world seen and a world not seen, a world of time and a world of eternity. You see, we're inmates of two worlds. A world seen and a world not seen. A world of time and a world of eternity. See, I'm an eternal being. Are you afraid to die? No, I've never died. I'll deal with that if it comes. I don't care about that. Now, I want to go in the rapture, not because I'm afraid to die. I just want to go for the ride. My wife has been asking me, I want to do something for you. You have no hobbies. I can't seem to buy anything. You got everything. I don't have everything. Jody tells me all the time, my daughter, Daddy, you're the hardest man to buy something for. I said, no, I am the easiest man. I said, you know why you think it's hard? Why, Dad? I said, because you're looking for something expensive. Quit looking for something expensive. You want to do something for me? How about cook that seafood soup you do? That's a great gift. Let me just come over. And that's all I want. I don't need nothing else. I got to watch what I say. I get it. One time I said it on television. I just, send me some socks. Ladies and gentlemen, I got socks with rhinestones on them. People sent me. I mean, I got a box with like 400 pairs of socks. I don't want no more socks. No more, none. I got to watch what I say. You see, when you understand, I don't speak as if I'm trapped by the enemy. Are you worried about COVID-19? No, it's worried about me. What? Ladies and gentlemen, I've tested positive for faith. Amen. See, some of you got a little nervous. Put the mask on. Let's go. Put that mask on. I tested. Look at John. He goes, whoop, all right. I've tested positive for faith. I've chose the Christ instead of the crisis. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we're walking blindfolded in the midst of truths and realities. Walking blindfolded. For I know in whom I have believed. Sometimes we walk in blindfolded in the midst of truths and realities. I kind of like to know where I'm going and what I'm going to do when I get there. It's just such a blessing. I enjoy it. I enjoy being saved. I'm not saved enough to be miserable. And people get so mad. Preachers, okay, one day you're going to get yours. You're going to get yours. I said, I already got it. That's why I'm happy. You know, people get mad at me, George, because I'm happy. Well, I tried sad. I didn't like it. Tried sick and that hurt. Tried broke. That's stupid. And it's just so amazing. See, so I don't see color. Oh, and I've had people get mad at me about that. No, I don't see. I don't like people being called an Italian American. Lost a few of you right there, or an African-American, or an Asian-American. We're Americans. That's what we are. Why do we stir that pot? We're Americans, you know. No, listen, forget about the color of your skin, but never lose your culture. See, it's your culture is who you are. See, I'm a Cajun from South Louisiana. That's my culture. I don't really know what color I am. I really don't. Because when we have a family reunion, black people show up. White people show up. Hispanic people show up. Asian people show up. I come from a very sinful family. We marry anybody we could get our hands on. You know what I'm saying? So I'm telling you, man, they all show up. So the black side of my family said, what's up? The white side of my family said, what's going down? Which means exactly the same. It's just a different thing. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care. I don't know what I am. And neither do you. We are a nation of immigrants. You go back far enough, you can probably quit going back. You're going to find something you never thought was real. My God. I do know that the four Duplantis boys left Paris and went to Nova Scotia, where they were called Acadians. And Acadians, and they were thrown out because there was a war in France and England, and naturally we stood with the French, because we were French. Well, they threw us out, and we went down to the bayous of South Louisiana. They dropped the Acadian to Cajun. That's how that happened. So not long ago, my God, three brothers went to New Orleans and the surrounding area, and one brother went to Victoria, Texas. And I went preaching Victoria, Texas, for John Osteen's, I think it was his daughter. She married a son of a great church over there. Make a long story short, this big black man, 6'7". His name was Ronnie Duplantis. He said, Brother Judge, you think we related? I said, most likely. I said, I wish I could be as tall as you. Just my God. Well, you know how you do all this stuff. You used to have roots and all where you did all that research. And one of the brothers went to Victoria, Texas. Who did he marry? I don't know. Didn't make no difference. That's my cousin, or we say it in French, my cousin. He was wonderful. I didn't really know that. He's the one who said he's black. Even Creflo Dollar one time said that. Jesse, we've been together 20 years. You don't know I'm black. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I didn't know it. And, you know, a lot of people think that I'm all kinds of people. I said this at the Visionary Conference. I flew into California at 1:30 in the morning. This man walked up to me and said, you Creflo Dollar. Man, Creflo, I watch you all the time. I said, thank you, man. I just appreciate it. I never said anything like that. I said, actually, I'm Creflo $8 Jr. That's what I am. He, oh, yeah, man. I never thought I'd get a chance to meet you. I said, well, it's a pleasure to meet you. He walked off in about 3 or 4 minutes. He said, you're not Creflo Dollar. I said, well, who you think I am? He said, you Jerry Savelle. I said, how you doing? So you got it figured out. Bless God. I just appreciate that. He walked off again, came back. He said, that ain't right. Wait a minute. You Robert Shula. I said, you like Robert? He said, yeah. I said, just call me Bobby. I got 1 minute left here. I'm going to stay on my time. So watch this. They were filling up my plane. He come back and said, wait a minute. I'm all mixed up. I said, now that is the truth. You Jesse the Planet. I said, yes, I am. He said, why did you say all that? I said, I become all things to all people. You want me to be Creflo? I got a lean on me. I can walk with a lean. Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, black people walk with a lean. See what I'm saying? I said, what do you want me to be? That's what Paul said. I've become all things to all people. Doesn't make any difference. See, that's great expectation, getting great results eternally. Did you enjoy it today? Yes. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Very simple. This is a very simple method. Remember that faith is the womb where expectation takes its first breath. Think about that. So, what are you going to get today? What are you going to get today? Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Then you shall not want. So what want will you get today? Come on, let it sink in. Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Then what want will you get today? Because you shall not want. It can be spiritual, it can be physical, it can be financial, it can be all three. I'm Jesse Duplantis and I approve this message. What do you want? Come on, George. Hallelujah, Lord. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, thank you. What are you going to get today? Terry, what you going to get today? Who knows?
I'm watching. I'm looking. I'm expecting.
Passion. That's it. What you gonna do? You got something today already. Yep. You really should get a lot of stuff today because it's your birthday.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
I got to sing you. So I like the Beatles version. You say it's your birthday. You got to understand something about George. He was a sinner too at one time. Hallelujah. Listen, great. I'm telling you. What are you going to get today? Think about that. Because, see, God's in a given mood.
Always.
And he'll help you.
Always.
Always. Thank you,
Jesse. Jesse, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.